RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Because we've done it all season. We've handled adversity well, and we had to play our best ball. And, we did, other than today.
Aaron, when you let go of an opportunity like that to clinch, how is it to bounce back? You know, you got one more shot.
I mean, it's not difficult. That's our job, we're playing all 17.
What needs to change between now and then?
Not much, just got to execute better.
Yeah, not much has to change. After you go out and score 6 points against the Cleveland Browns defense, sure, the number one pass defense in the NFL, but a defense that gave up 31 points to the lifeless Tennessee Titans and Cam Ward, and have had other instances where they've looked very pedestrian, where the Steelers ultimately made them look like the 85 Bears. Austin Bechtel with you. It's Pomp and Joe. Hello to everyone on this cold December day, rounding out 2025. Logan Arblaster producing Behind the Glass. Logan, good to be with you.
Good to be with you, sir.
I'm assuming everything is well with you.
Everything except Nick Herbig dropping a automatic pick six. That would have been very nice.
Do you ever get sad at the very end of the year where, like, we're turning the calendar over to a new year and there's anything that you regretted about this past year, or that something that was very good that happened this year that you're sad to see go to, when the calendar flips and you don't think about it as much?
I feel like everybody has their set of goals that they go into the new year with, and this is just goes for everybody. And you make it maybe a day or two into January, and then you end up not following through with those things. So, yeah, I feel like everybody goes through those regrets. One of them is being a Steelers fan. I think for me, that might be a lifetime regret, signing myself up for that.
Did you hear that Dom said that 2026 is going to be the year of Austin?
That's what the rumor is.
I don't know if I should be appreciative of that or be scared.
I have no clue what that means. I don't know if Dom knows what that means, but I hope it happens for you.
Well, I think what Dom was insinuating there is that it would be like a 2026 of success and good things and good health, I hope. But I found that very fascinating. I hope it's not like a pony prediction passing in the night.
A lot of times when Dom says things in his predictions, I don't know how well they go, but I hope that one is different.
So one thing that everybody basically predicted from this Steelers season was 9-8, 10-7. And once again, here we are in that realm in a very similar position that they were year after year, where I thought that this year was going to be different. I thought that this season, they were still going to go 10-7. That's what I predicted at the start of the year, and that they'd be a wild card team. Not that they'd win the division. Didn't think that that would be in play with Joe Burrow and Lamar, but injuries have obviously cost both of those teams. I thought that this season with Aaron Rodgers, and for a large portion of it, it was going to be a different story, was going to look different, was going to feel different compared to Russell Wilson collapsing down the stretch and you lose five in a row, and the Kenny Pickett years, and the Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph years, and with a four-time MVP at quarterback, it would be a different story. But the Steelers have still not won in Cleveland since Ben Roethlisberger retired, of course. But before that, pre-Ben, before Ben, Tommy Maddox was the last quarterback to win a game for the Steelers in Cleveland, outside of Ben Roethlisberger. They are now 1-6-1 in their last eight games in Cleveland. And they've lost four games in a row in Cleveland to these quarterbacks. Jacoby Brissett in 2022. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, DTR. I don't even know if he's still in the league. Just 2 years ago, 2023. Last season, losing to Jameis Winston in the snow, where you might remember George Pickens not blaming himself on the go ball, on the Hail Mary that was supposed to be tipped towards him. He was supposed to be the point man on the Hail Mary, supposed to be the one that tried to come down with it and have the answered prayer. But no, he was fighting a corner in the end zone, Greg Newsom. Jameis Winston beats the Steelers in the snow, and George Pickens has the audacity to blame the snow, to blame the weather. Not like Cleveland was playing in it as well. And in 2025, the final game until 2026, you lose to Shedeur freaking Sanders. Somebody who, in the second half, I think threw as many interceptions as he had completions. The Browns could not put together any yardage in the second half. Your $160 million defense that played fairly well, very well, I'd say, in the second half, that was very poor on the first couple of drives, allowing it to be a 10-0 start, allowed Cleveland to have just 41 yards on 21 plays in the second half. And you blew it. Shedeur Sanders, you know what he does? He always puts up his wrist with his watch. What time is it? Is it Shedeur time? Yeah, it's Steeler fraudulent time. It's we were wrong again time. It's they sucked us in to believe, and then they laid another egg in Cleveland time. And maybe that's just how naive I was going into this game, thinking that it was going to be not easy, but a game that the Steelers should go in and take care of business. Now, I was dumb enough. You could blame me. You could throw your bow and arrows at me, thinking that the Ravens winning that game in Green Bay was actually beneficial for the Steelers. Look how much of an idiot I look like now. I thought that was going to be the case because it gives the Steelers another week where they were scoring 28 points per game since that Buffalo loss, last three games, to put together another good offensive performance, figure some things out on defense. You get Nick Herbig back. You still rest TJ Watt, yes, but then if you win the game in Cleveland, you don't have to worry about Watt against the Ravens. I was worried about rust over rest if they potentially would have sat starters for two consecutive weeks. Thought you would just continue to ride the momentum. Look where that got you. And something that really caught my eye after the game, because we talk about the noise after you lose, there's two things that stood out. And one was Patrick Queen retweeting a tweet from 2020, saying the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. And to me, this automatically means Patrick Queen is throwing shade at Aaron Rodgers for throwing it three times to his homeboy MVS with goal to go. And MVS and Aaron Rodgers being on the wrong page twice and throwing a go ball to MVS on a similar play that from the back of the end zone looked like Santonio Holmes attempting to go up for the ball, except, this one was not caught and it did not win you a title of any kind. And the other thing was this. What is the atmosphere at Sunday Night Football going to look like at Acrisure Stadium? what do you want to happen at 412-928-9370? What do you think is going to happen? What do you want to happen? Because that's a big question for me. We're going to break down this game a little bit more in depth as well, like we did yesterday with Pomp. Nick Faribault will join top of the hour. The Mike Tomlin press conference is at noon here, right here on The Fan. And also at 1 o'clock, Brian Bacco will join to break it all down. But my question to you is this. What do you want to happen this Sunday? Do you want the Steelers to win this game, go into the playoffs? The Chargers are sitting Justin Herbert, so you're not going to face the Chargers. You're likely going to face either Houston, Jacksonville, depending on what happens in their game, or Buffalo. Do you want the Steelers to win, go into the playoffs, and potentially be embarrassed at home in the playoffs? Do you want them to lose this week and another big message be sent by the fan base? Because I tell you what, if it is out of hand at any point, but especially in the second half and into the fourth quarter, by a touchdown, maybe two scores, the atmosphere inside the stadium is going to be intense. There is going to be a lot of fanfare with potential fire Tomlin chants, a restless crowd, a crowd that has been tailgating and getting ready for this game all day long for Sunday Night Football. If the Steelers don't take care of business, it could get ugly with the way that fans voice their frustration in the stadium. And it's on a national audience, national stage. So there are lots of different ways to look at this game that's coming up. But still looking in the rearview mirror of what was, that loss was on coaching, Aaron Rodgers, and Omar Khan. And here's why. It was on coaching from Artie Smith and company. Their unorthodox running plays outside of a rhythm where, especially on that third and four play, they run away from Myles Garrett. Okay, not the worst thing in the world. But they run short side of the field into a very stacked up box, trying to run wide instead of not just running right up the middle. And they didn't take many chances. In the shots that they did take, whether it was to MVS, the fourth and one pass to Scotty Miller, were plays that just didn't make sense. And a lot of that falls on Aaron Rodgers because he's done a really good job of improvising this year. Think about the NFL Films clip that they put out there with Kenneth Gainwell, where he was right at the line of scrimmage and Rodgers told Gainwell, just go out there and run a go ball. And that's exactly what they did. Threw it to him against Detroit. He scores into the end zone, one of the best plays you're ever going to see. But Aaron Rodgers and his confidence in his guy MVS to easily be able to get the job done, and the tunnel vision that he had for MVS and the tunnel vision that he had for Scotty Miller, it's like the boys club this past game where things were working so well the three prior, things changed in Cleveland where they didn't play to win. They ultimately played not to lose. They ultimately played not to lose. And that's one of the most unfortunate parts about it. Because when Tomlin was questioned about the fourth and one deep shot to Scotty Miller and the targets to MVS at the end of the game, Tomlin did not try to hold anybody accountable. He just said, yeah, there were options.
He certainly had options, and he was one of them.
There were options.
He had eligibles on the play, and certainly he was one of them. And he's a capable guy. I got no qualms about us playing to win the game in the way that we did.
So we're back in the same spot that we were 4 weeks ago, that we were 4 months ago, that we were 4 years ago, where, honestly, I was shocked by what happened in that game. But the snowball continues to avalanche further and further on down the hill. And maybe I shouldn't have been shocked. Maybe that's just the dumbness of my mind thinking that they should be able to go into Cleveland and win it based on the evidence that we were given against a good Detroit team. And I don't care that they lost last week. It was the Steelers that took all the air out of their sails. Against Baltimore, where they pushed around the Ravens on the road and took care of business pretty handily against Miami. that built up my confidence. It made me think that this year's team was different, when in reality it really wasn't. But it just keeps coming back to one thing for me as well. What would have happened if DK Metcalf did not lose his mind and go after that fan who was acting like an idiot with the blue hair and the painted chest, and he was able to play in this game? There was no DK. There was no Calvin Austin. Darnell Washington breaks his arm. No Sayamalo. The chips are falling off the board here. And you won't have DK Metcalf for Baltimore. If DK Metcalf plays, they probably win. The philosophy of how Arthur Smith calls the game is likely different. They don't play a scared offensive approach until the last series, where they finally discovered Pat Freiermuth like it was gold buried treasure that Indiana Jones finally found at the end of the movie. That's basically what Pat Freiermuth is anytime you use him. He's dependable, he's reliable, and he doesn't even have 40 catches this year. Because they've basically phased him out of the offense to do what? Give the ball more to Kenneth Gainwell? It's worked. Except this game where they didn't give it to him at all. Nine total touches, for Kenneth Gainwell. Was targeted four times, made two catches, just seven rushes on the game. They got away from their offensive identity. They completely got away from it. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And off the top, it's presented by JP Roofing and Siding. A rundown of today's show. Top of the hour, Nick Faribault will join us to talk some Steelers and the reaction to what people are saying about Myles Garrett as well. Like, were they paying too much attention to Myles Garrett? I don't agree that they lost the game because of Myles Garrett. One important factor in this to make sure that you don't lose a game is to make sure that Myles Garrett does not have a huge impact on the game. One tackle, no sacks. Two games you've played against Myles Garrett, no sacks. His presence was definitely felt. That's undeniable. But they've run a quick passing offense all season long where they've gotten the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand. I don't think it was much different this time around. Myles Garrett did impact the game, but not to the extent that a lot of people are trying to say that's the case. Myles Garrett, though, said the Steelers paid too much attention to him, saying, to an extent, I feel like they were more worried about keeping me away from Aaron than getting the win. Myles Garrett. I want to talk about self-centered. But to an extent, he might have a point. He might have a point. And I think a lot of you out there probably believe that he does. But a ton of the reasons why they lost this game against Cleveland and makes me not really believe that confidently that they're going to win this game against the Ravens. It's truly a coin flip if they actually do. No DK Metcalf. No Darnell. Calvin Austin is still banged up, and he's not that great of a receiver, but he's the closest thing to a number two that you have, especially when you don't use your tight ends well enough, and the one that you have used the most, whether it be blocking and in the passing game, just total snaps, is going to be out with a broken arm. I'd be stunned if he actually plays. So no Calvin Austin, no Darnell Washington, no DK Metcalf. Sayamalo's still hurt. Where's the rhythm on offense? Too much dependent on MVS. Adam Thielen is old. Roman Wilson. Did he play? You could have told me that he didn't, and I would have had no idea that he played nine snaps. It's an issue that always comes back to coaching, and the third element of it is Omar Khan not bringing in other wide receivers to fix the problem. There are so many different layers and elements to this that we can continue to peel back. But a lot of it comes back to those three factors. And I'm a big Aaron Rodgers believer and supporter. But he played a horrible game on Sunday. And I think one reason why is the creative freedom that they have given him at the line of scrimmage. It's worked in moments. It has benefited the Steelers. The fact that Mike Tomlin has actually given up some control to Aaron Rodgers, which a lot of people were skeptical of before Rodgers signed. Would they do that? They didn't to the previous quarterbacks. ever since Ben retired. Well, they actually do that to Rodgers. It went to an extreme. It went too far. And it's put them in this position where the GM did not do a good enough job of acquiring a wide receiver. Yeah, look how good Jakobi Meyers is right now for the Jaguars. You couldn't have offered a little bit better than a, I don't know, fifth-round pick? 412-928-9370. Let's hear from you. Here's Tim in the North Hills. What's up, Tim?
Oh, hello. Yes, I want to make a point that I do feel it was different. I know the numbers don't appear different at the end, but we're playing for a divisional championship. We also have a four-time MVP as a quarterback. If we do win, I think we have a more than fighting chance to get beyond the first round. Then you're down to the final eight, and I think anybody from the beginning of the summer when training camp would start would take getting to the final eight with a fighting chance with a Super Bowl winner quarterback, no matter what his age is.
Getting to this point here, Tim, getting to a winner-take-all game where you had the division in your grasp, despite the quarterback being 42, is rounds for success. So you are applauding what the Steelers are doing right now.
Without question.
What were your expectations coming into this season then?
Again, mine were way.
They were what?
What I heard going into the first time I heard Aaron Rodgers' name was naysay, that we're going to be lucky to be a wild card, which means we're on the road, and with who's going to be our quarterback, Mason Rudolph? Okay, I will take this. Huge, okay, that there's been some mistakes and there's ups and downs and everything. But let's talk about the Los Angeles Rams last night.
What about the Rams? They're well in position with a quarterback that's younger, a star wide receiver, and a pretty good young defense.
But they laid an egg last night, did they not?
They did, yes.
Yeah, so there you go. So they have a younger quarterback, Matt Stafford, okay? One Super Bowl win versus four.
So you're saying, Tim, that you would rather be the Steelers right now than the Rams, that the Steelers have a better chance to win in the playoffs than the Rams?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have a better chance than what we had at the beginning of the summer by light years, because I know that as a fact, because I have a 46-1 bet on the Steelers that will pay off if we win the Super Bowl. Okay, 46-1. Would you take that bet?
Right now, no. I don't think that they're going to be anywhere close to the Super Bowl, Tim, and I appreciate the call, but after watching that performance that they had in Cleveland, no, I don't feel good about it at all.
I think Tim might be having a hard time accepting his bet might not hit, unfortunately for him.
Let's continue to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. Well, they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It is 10:23. The time is brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. It's time to check out Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. Here is Will in Oakdale. What's up, Will?
Hey, you brought up Freiermuth. On that last play, I kind of noticed on the left side of the screen that he was like wide open in the end zone with his hands up. And, you know, of course, Rodgers was so tunnel visioned on throwing over and beating that cornerback, you know. But I was wondering, why didn't we continue going in the middle? I mean, that's what brought us down there. He was like wide open in the end zone
on
that last play.
I fully agree with you, Will, because I don't understand their utilization of Pat Freiermuth, or really the lack thereof, because he's somebody who is clearly proven. And I saw a video that Zach Smith of Around the 412 posted where it was a touchdown pass to Pat Freiermuth in like his rookie season, the last time the Steelers won in Cleveland. And I said, yeah, this is the last time that Pat Freiermuth was properly used in the Steelers' offense. And that might not even be hyperbole, because he was open at times. Kenneth Gainwell was open. But Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback that does a great job of going through progressions, basically went away from that because he had enough trust in Scotty Miller and NVS, guys who on other teams would not even be cracking the field, would not even be seeing the field. We got to remember that NVS, who's become this number one wide receiver for them, was picked up by nobody earlier this year. He's played for three different teams, was on the practice squad for a while, decided that he wasn't going to sign with the Steelers at first because he wanted to see if anybody else would sign him to their active roster. And guess what? They didn't. But that's the guy that you go back to. three separate times with goal to go. It's just infuriating. And that's on Aaron Rodgers. It is. And a lot of it comes back on Metcalf, and a lot of it comes back on just the way that this season has spiraled to the point where I'm voicing a lot of frustration that I didn't expect to coming into this week. I thought it was going to be you sit the starters, you watch Will Howard, maybe it is Will Howard and not Mason Rudolph that gets the start. Maybe you get a little bit of a glimpse into the future. Everybody wants to see Will Howard around here. Maybe you actually would be able to see what the sixth-round pick was capable of. You'd be able to rest Cam Hayward. TJ Watt, no thoughts about potentially rushing him back for this game. But no, it's all falling flat on their face. And a big part of it is it's another Mike Tomlin letdown game. It's the yearly annual tradition. The yearly annual Mike Tomlin game against, well, it seems like it's just a reoccurring theme against Cleveland. You might as well just chalk it down every year. Could write it in red pen. When is the yearly Tomlin special going to happen? It's been happening a lot more late in the season. Texter, so it's acceptable for McVay's team to play down and lose to a bad team on the road, but not Tomlin's, right? No, it's not acceptable for McVay's team and the Rams to do that. What I'm saying is, I think that the Rams, to go into the playoffs, and yes, they're on a little bit of a losing streak right now, they're getting players back healthy. They are a team that has a MVP favorite at quarterback, that has one of the three best receivers in the game, Puka Nacua, if not the best. It's him, Smith and Jigba, and Ja'Marr Chase mixed in with Justin Jefferson. That has a young defense with Verse and many others that are explosive. So I'm not giving McVay's team any bit of a pass here and saying that the Steelers should get any bit of a pass against the Browns. But if I'm waking up this morning in Los Angeles and I'm waking up in Pittsburgh, I feel a lot better about the chances, even as a wild card team, that the Rams could go into the playoffs against a Seattle, against the Bears, against whoever wins the South, that they can go into that game and they can win it compared to whoever might come here for a home game against the Steelers. 412-928-9370. We'll continue to hear from you. We'll get Logan's thoughts as well. Nick Faribault will join the show at the top of the hour. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll continue to hear from you and also a lot of texts rolling in. We'll get to some texts. We'll do a mini text in the city as we hear from you. Austin Bechtold with you in for the guys on Pump and Joe. Logan has a headline. We're back in a moment on the Fan.
We didn't do anything against Miles that we don't normally do against Miles. The sack record's irrelevant. We got to minimize him if we want to engineer victory. We did the same thing last time we played him. I didn't think he had any sacks in that game either. And so we didn't take a different approach because of the gravity of the record.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's just standard business when you playing these guys and him.
Play the Browns game. How much is it part of that balance of trying to think, limit Garrett, but at the same time still getting it going?
We had the same similar game plan as the first time. We just executed better in the first game.
And honestly, I kind of believe them. And something that Arthur Motes said, Austin Bechtel with you in for the guys here on Pomp and Joe, Logan Arblaster producing behind the glass, is Arthur Motes was on with Pomp in the postgame show on KDK TV. And, you know, Arthur played obviously for a long time. He played for Mike Tomlin. And what he said was, a lot of this talk about the record and stuff like that, it's built up more in the media than it actually is in the locker room. And I thought, look, we know that the Steelers don't like Myles Garrett. The thought of Myles Garrett swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph will never leave my mind. Like, I cannot bring myself to root for Myles Garrett or, like, celebrate Myles Garrett breaking that record, which he probably still will against Joe Burrow, but he has gone two games and only had half a sack. And he did have a stretch earlier this year where he played three consecutive games and did not have a sack. The big reason why he's at this number now is because, A, he's very good, but two, he had a five-sack game against New England, a game they lost by 19, by the way, and he also had a four-sack game and has had multiple two- or three-sack games. But I really don't think that what they did offensively was all systematically in an effort to prevent Myles Garrett from breaking the record against them. Now, I am also on record saying that if Myles Garrett got anywhere near Aaron Rodgers to the point where he was going to record a sack, I would rather Dylan Cook or whoever was the offensive lineman going up against Garrett hold him and prevent him from sacking Rodgers for a couple of different reasons. A, you don't want your 42-year-old quarterback taking big hits. B, I would rather take the penalty then take a 7 or 8 yard loss on a sack and make second down and 10 become third and 17. I would rather just take the penalty and make it second and 20 compared to third and 17. You have two more downs to try to pick it up. So when I had that thought, it wasn't from a, oh, well, screw Myles Garrett, don't give him the record perspective. The Steelers were trying to slow down Myles Garrett because it's better to win a game by slowing down Myles Garrett than allowing that guy to feast. So I feel like some of the arguments and some of the thoughts that people are saying about the impact that Myles Garrett had are a little bit misguided. But it did affect the Steelers in a way, not as large as I think a lot of people are making it out to be. But Garrett did have an impact on this game. But it was also the Steelers' ineffectiveness to stick with the run. Where was Jaylen Warren? Where was Kenneth Gainwell? What is the identity of the Steelers offense? Well, what we thought it was coming into this one was we're going to play smash mouth football. We're going to run it right by you. Gainwell, Warren, 1-2 punch. The thunder and lightning that you thought you were getting with Najee and Jaylen Warren, where Najee just ultimately wasn't that good the last couple of years. this is a better backfield than it was a year ago or 2 years ago. Jaylen Warren had 12 carries for 64 yards. Pretty good. You might want to hand it to him more. Kenneth Gainwell, 7 carries for 26 yards. And altogether, they rarely touch the football. 131 yards on 24 carries is what the Steelers rushed for. They averaged about 5.5 yards per carry. And they abandoned the run. They abandoned the middle of the field. And they consistently went back to older, inexperienced in terms of this offense players, guys that have not been on the field this year. The dependable options were MVS, the practice squad guy, for a couple of weeks before he was elevated, and Scotty Miller, who couldn't get on the field over Roman Wilson for most of the season. Scotty Miller, who couldn't get onto the field over Adam Thielen, had 3 catches in the game. Jonnu Smith, who you gave a $10 million extension to next year, 5 catches for 18 yards. There have been times where Aaron Rodgers has shown so many moments of bringing this offense back to life, more looking like a modern-day offense, back from the dead, because Tomlin and his philosophy of don't turn the ball over, don't throw it over the middle of the field, they forced 2 turnovers. Shedeur Sanders was legitimately awful. He finished with 186 yards. 140 of those were in the first half. A gimme interception for Kyle Duggar, where he could have called for a fair catch and taken that ball out of the air. A walk-in pick six for Nick Herbig. What should have been a walk-in pick six for Jack Sawyer, but he took a bad route. And the most damning stat of them all that I saw from a man named Doug Clawson. Nice stat here from Doug of CBS Sports. Doug says the Steelers are winless, 0-4-1, in their past 5 games versus teams entering 8-plus games below 500, tying the longest such streak in NFL history. You would think that this would happen by a team that sucks. I don't know, like Arizona or the Raiders or something like that, where they're just losing to other bad and crummy teams. No, not a team that, if you won, you would have won your division. 2020 to the 2-10-1, I should say. Don't forget about the tie, Bengals. Don't forget about when they tied the 0-8 Lions in 2021, when Freiermuth and Deontay fumbled in overtime and Ben couldn't play because of COVID and Mason Rudolph had to step in. How could anybody forget about the 2-10 Cardinals game in 2023? Oh, wait, back-to-back, when I was at the 2-10 New England game, when they lost that game, and I think it was a Thursday night, and now the 3-12 Cleveland Browns. They're 1-6-1 in their last 8 games in Cleveland. They lost their offensive identity. They're injured. They're beaten up. The vibes are down. There's not much momentum, and it could be a toxic atmosphere at the stadium. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Here's our guy, Tony in Butler. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm okay.
So I just want to real quick say that, look, I'm not a hater. I always want the Steelers to win. But really what they should have done this year was start like Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen?
For some, yes.
Why Kyle Allen, Tony?
Because, listen, I really think they probably wouldn't have done that well. And we would have got Will Howard on the field, which you put out a draft pick for him, and it's the end of the year, and you still don't know what you have in him. So now you're going to draft another quarterback, I'm assuming, next year or this year in the draft, when you don't even know what you got there. I just think if everybody could accept it's the true definition of insanity, Austin. We fixed this 1 year at a time. My prediction this year was they were going to go 8-9. They're going to go 9-8. They're going to pick around 20th. And the goal to everybody here is to win a playoff game. Austin, what does winning a playoff, one playoff game, do for this organization?
Yeah, it does something that they haven't done in the last 8 years, but who cares? Like, the last 8 years, in my mind, are basically meaningless. Outside of small things, like T.J. Watt is the all-time leader in sacks in Steelers history. That's great. But that's an individual thing. That's not a team thing. And what matters more is what you're doing with the team, how the team performs. Right. Like, I don't care about some of those smaller things and those individual accolades, defensive player of the year, stuff like that. where...
No, I hear you, because like if you remember at the beginning of last year, there was a press conference when a reporter asked Rooney what the goal was. Mr. Rooney said the goal was to win a playoff game. I want to build this team for the future. I'm not just worried about next year. I'm worried about the next 5 years. You know, I mean, look how fast New England has rebuilt. They lost Belichick and Brady. Couple down years, they might be the number one team in the AFC this year. Why can't we just accept a couple years of, we can accept this mediocrity, just go all the way with it. Win five games, get a higher draft pick, which is a whole other problem because they stink at drafting. But, you know, it just seems like every year, Russell Wilson, we're going to fix it for this year. Well, how'd that work out? Mitchell Trubisky, we're going to fix it for that year. How'd that work out?
Yeah, and I agree with you, Tony, and I appreciate the call. And it takes me back to what Jim Rooney said about the mean.
You know, Jim speaks for himself, and I'm happy that he's doing good selling his book.
Well, that's what Art said after Jim said this.
They'll burn the city down if we go 3-13 for, you know, 3 years in a row, but that's generally how you get one of those top guys. I mean, occasionally you get lucky and occasionally you make the right trade decision, but there's more examples of not getting lucky and not making the right trade than there are other. Again, I don't want to be making excuses, but it's an interesting dilemma. And I would rather have Art and Mike and Omar, the guys in charge, trying to solve it than the opposite.
That was in January. And no, Jim, I would not rather have Mike Tomlin try to solve it, because he's tried to solve it for the last 8-9 years. And look, I said after they won against Detroit that that was pretty much the tipping point for me in believing if they were a true contender or not. But did anybody truly expect to slip up in Cleveland this bad, where the offense scores 6 points? The defense played well in the second half. Yeah, you'd expect them to, against a team that, I don't know, has a running back that came off the practice squad, a quarterback that nobody picked until the fifth round that told Philadelphia and told Baltimore, no, I don't want to be your backup. I'd rather go to Cleveland. Like, that's your mentality? That had a linebacker in Schlesinger that's very good, but seemed like he was playing at half speed because he was banged up in the game? And that is what you want? Here is Garrett in Dallas. What's up, Garrett?
Yeah, man. I just can't stand emotional Steeler fans, man. You know, we could get to the playoffs, and we could do very well if we could get to the playoffs. I'm not concerned about the last game.
What do you think?
I'm concerned
very
about
well,
the next couple of games.
In your mind, what is very well, Garrett? Do very well in the playoffs.
We can win. We can get to the AFC Championship, technically. And you guys sit up there and you make excuses for playing one bad game and the mismanagement of the game. Yes, they look bad. Yes, they didn't put together a good game plan. But there's nobody you should fear in the AFC. I look at Buffalo, right? And Buffalo, we had 10-7 at halftime. One, two, or three plays turned the game. Defense didn't give up any points to Buffalo. The offense gave up them points. I look at Houston. I don't fear them.
You don't fear their defense?
And I don't fear Drake May. Well, the defense, yes, but they're not. But we can put together a game plan with the way our defense is playing. You have to believe. Pittsburgh fans are so sorry. They get emotional. Fire Tomlin. We could be 10-7. No one thought we would do that. I knew we would do it. You know what I'm saying? And we're going up against a wounded Baltimore team. Let's rally the troops, support your team, and go get ready. Stop with this emotional fan crap.
So do you not here? So do you not blame Mike Tomlin at all for that loss then, Garrett?
Actually, they got my name wrong. My name is Derek. I'm from
Oh, sorry,
North
Derek.
And I've been a Steeler fan forever. That's fine. He said that. I blame the whole team for the loss, but I actually blame the execution from Rodgers, because the coach has put us in position to actually win the game. Rodgers didn't make the throws. That's what happened. The kicker missed the kick. So and when it's all said and done, it was the players that lost the game, because the coach has put us in position to win the game. So, yes, I mean, it looked bad. Of course it looked bad. I want to win. And, of course, I'd rather be the Rams right now, because they're actually in the playoffs. Now we have to go out here and show Baltimore and dominate them to get to the playoffs. And if we lose, yeah, it's going to look bad. But I can't stand this Fire Tomlin and do all this when the staff actually put us in position to win the game. The players didn't execute. You got to look at the game the way it's played.
Appreciate the call, Garrett. I mean, I think Mike Tomlin, I don't look at that game and think that Tomlin put them in a position to win. Sure, his defense gave them opportunities for the offense to be able to come back, but there were some decisions. Mike Tomlin can check and make some decisions for Aaron Rodgers before the play is called based on what he wants, where Aaron can obviously decide at the line of scrimmage to change it at the last moment, and Tomlin has given him that creative freedom to do that. But fourth and one, go ball to Scotty Miller. A lot of that has to fall on Artie. But yes, a lot of it does fall on Rodgers because it is his decision on where he is going to throw the ball. But it's Tomlin's game plan coming into that game. They played scared. They played not to lose. They played not to turn the ball over. And the weather wasn't a factor in the second half. You can't blame the weather in the second half. Pony and Mueller were there. They said it wasn't even raining. Here is Joe. He's in Hermitage. What's up, Joe?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Well, so many things to start. I guess I'll start with your question on what do I want to see happen Sunday. I want to see us get decimated. I want to see us lose big, and here's the reason why. Nothing is going to change until mediocre Mike takes a hike. Everybody says, oh, Aaron Rodgers is here. This is here. It doesn't matter. As long as that man is in charge, nothing is going to change. You could have an all-pro lineup offensively, the best receivers, the best quarterback, and we'd still be in the same boat. That's all I got.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. Where, look, it's Tomlin's team. It's Tomlin's creation. There's so much of an argument that I think is a fair one that I think has some holes in it this year regarding Arthur Smith and the offense. Arthur Smith was in his bag against the Detroit Lions. Tosses to Jonnu Smith. Creative plays. Plays where you go, oh, that was a nice call there for Marty. That was well designed. That made sense. Against Cleveland, there was a bunch of, that's your call? That makes no sense. Pitch to Gainwell, 3rd and 4. Far side hash. 4th and 1, Scotty Miller go ball. On the second to last drive of the game, you don't run it at all. With 3 timeouts, you're at the 20. You give Cleveland a free field goal where you have to go down the field and score a touchdown instead of either punting the ball away, using up your timeouts for an offense that, I don't know, is so lifeless they weren't going to move the ball at all. Could have played field position. There were a lot of coaching elements and coaching components of this game where they failed. I'm sure Paul in Washington agrees. Hi, Paul.
How you doing there, City Limits?
Oh, Paul, I'm better because I'm talking to you.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, but you know where I stand. I gave you a prediction a while ago that they were going to go 5-12. How they got the 9 and whatever everybody thinks they're going to be is beyond me. But I'm just going to say the magic number is 20. If Derrick Henry carries the ball 20 times, it's lights out, the party's over, the fat lady's going to sing, the game is going to be a blowout. I mean, we all know what the problem is. The problem is Art doesn't have the stones to do what needs to be done. Mike can't evaluate talent. He can't assemble a decent coaching staff. And the Steelers are never going to win ever again in my lifetime until they get rid of the current regime. And that means everybody. Omar, the other guy that's a half a GM.
Andy Weidel.
The whole caboodle. Get rid of everybody and make a call to a couple of Baldwin guys. As Dave wants that, if maybe he'll come in and oversee the coaching search. And then maybe start with Bobby Slowick's kid and let him be an OC. I mean, he's an innovative offensive mind. We need somebody that can take chances, isn't afraid to, you know, lay the ball on the ground and do something different. I don't know what more to say, City Limits. I mean, we got a bunch of old people on defense. Joey Porter's a bust. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Slade.
Hold on, Paul. Joey Porter is actually having a very good year this year. He's not a bust. He's been
Joey
playing
Porter
very well.
Having a good. Wait a minute, City Limits. You can't have it both ways. The other day, did you see that so-called tackle he tried to make? He can't tackle.
Well, I don't think that anybody's disputing that Joey Porter isn't the best tackler in the world, but he's had a really good season as a cover corner, Paul.
Well,
you got to admit that.
That's pretty sad. that's pretty sad that if you can treat the receiver like that's your first date, you got your hands all over, and you call that good, we need a Mel Blunt type. We need to go back to Steelers football. Punch them in the mouth. Take no names. When they see Pittsburgh's on the schedule, they're shaking in their boots. Let's go back to old school Steelers football. I rest my case. Have a happy New Year.
All right, happy New Year, Paul. I got to push back on the Joey Porter Jr. thing. How did Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams do against the Steelers? Not well. How did Jerry Jeudy do, other than the first couple of drives, against the Steelers? Didn't play great. How did Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, whoever Joey Porter Jr. was covering in that game against Baltimore, play? Not ideal. How about Jaylen Waddle? Yeah, Joey Porter Jr. has actually been very good in the second half of this season. He has been a shining light in the darkness that has been, at times, the Steelers' defense that has played considerably better in the last month and a half. They have unleashed some hell in December. They've actually been a solid unit that has played up to snuff. And we saw it in the wins. And they did enough for the Steelers to win this game against Cleveland. But for Mike Tomlin to come out and say, oh, I don't think that we played poorly in this game. I think that ultimately wasn't our best performance, but no, we didn't play poorly. That's just him speaking on his defense and not even categorizing his offense.
I didn't think we played poorly. We just didn't make enough plays. I thought they played well. I thought the game was kind of unfolding in the way that you would anticipate, but we never made that signature play that kind of got us over the hump.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
That generally is the deciding factor in games like this, and we generally make them. We didn't make them today.
We didn't play poorly mainly, yeah, my defense didn't play poorly. They did enough to give the offense a chance. The offense just didn't make plays. Mike, you scored 6 points against the Browns offense, against the Browns defense that really isn't that good. And your defense did not capitalize, your offense did, after the interception from Kyle Duggar. Immediately punted the ball. You might as well just punted it on first down. That's how quick that drive ended. Immediately, same thing. Jack Sawyer returns it back. You get nothing. Sure, those plays need to be turned into touchdowns, scoring drives, points off turnovers. But again, coaching, quarterback, and the way that this team has been built failed them against Cleveland. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's just one bump in the road. But it's the final bump before what is a win-and-get-in playoff game. This is a playoff game on Sunday. And the whole world is going to see it. And the whole world, whether it be, it was on Prime, but the whole world saw it, when last year Derrick Henry ran all over your ass for 299 yards, dominated and pushed you around, and that same guy, the same beast that ran the ball 36 times, a season high, for 216 yards and 4 touchdowns against Green Bay, a good defense, is ready to hunt you down. Paul made a comment about when Derrick Henry touches the ball 20 times. I'm going to show you and tell you what happens when Derrick Henry touches the ball 18 times. First game of the year against Buffalo, 18 carries, 169 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yes, I know he had the fumble. 24 carries against the Rams, 122 yards. 21 carries against Chicago, just 71. 19 carries against Miami, 119 yards. 20 carries against Minnesota, 75 yards. 18 against Cleveland, 100. I'm more concerned about what are you doing for me lately. Against Cincinnati, 11 carries, 100 yards. He averaged 9 yards per carry. New England, 18 carries, 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. And against Green Bay, 36 carries, 216 yards, 4 touchdowns and averaged 6 yards per rush. Derrick Henry right now is averaging 7 yards per carry in his last 3 games. 7 yards per carry. He's run for 400 yards over the last 3. Well over that. So, you want to talk about not playing poorly? Try to stop that guy while your offense is trying to put it together against a Ravens secondary that Rob Long told us yesterday is really not that good, where Marlon Humphrey is a shade of himself and Wiggins isn't very good. Kyle Hamilton's playing too much around the line of scrimmage. Two teams that have met at the same midpoint, at the very end of the season. They're in the same spot. Two veteran coaches, the two longest tenure coaches in the NFL, and Tomlin and John Harbaugh, that have found a fork in the road. What path are you going to take? Is it win or go be on TV next year? Probably not, because ownership loves their coaches and they're not willing to make changes. But if there was anything as well that I learned from the Chicago-San Francisco game that you probably should have learned as well, offensive coaching is winning. And look at what the Ravens offense is doing with John Harbaugh overseeing it and what the Steelers offense was in this game against Cleveland with Mike Tomlin overseeing it. And I rest my case. You were on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Be careful out there. The temperatures are in the mid-20s, and it's also snowing. The feels-like temperature is cold. Right now in Pittsburgh, it is currently 2 degrees, as the feels-like, with the temperature at 22. I don't know why they don't just move the temperature down to right around 2, if that's what it feels like. But it feels like 2 degrees, so be careful out there. Nick Faribault will join the show next as we get ready for the Mike Tomlin press conference at the top of the noon hour. Nick Faribault of Penn Live joins next. Austin Bechtold in for Pomp and Joe. It is Pomp and Joe on a Tuesday. 3 yards. 21 against the Jets, 64 yards.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it.
With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.